Hi, everybody. I'm Gene Simmons, and you're not. And you are listening to the number one KISS podcast, Shout It Out Loudcast, with Tom and Zeus. But you knew that. Now get out of here.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oy.
This is Gene Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Kiss.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Broker Simmons.
Star? Paul Stanley. Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
I mean, Ace Frehley.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no. Here come the Kiss times.
Is that a positive thing?
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck them.
Clap them.
What are you talking about?
617-525-0.
You do?
Hey, fuck them.
Do you like
Kiss?
Settle down.
Hello.
Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus with another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast, episode 223, An Evening with Gene Simmons.
But you knew that. How about that intro, huh? Oh, boy, we got a lot to talk about. Damn.
Yeah, we try to keep this kind of secret as much as we can. There have been a few of you guys that have been like, hey, is that you? Is this you in the background? Hey, are you guys there? We just kept our mouths shut. We kind of wanted to give you guys the real experience of being at this whole event. And you're going to get it directly from us. And we saw it, and we're in the middle of all of it. And we cannot wait to tell you all about it. But before we go forward, we go backwards. And we talk about last week's episode in which we fucked up. It's the number fifth track on a Kiss album. And apparently that is God Gave Rock and Roll to You and not Domino on Revenge.
Yeah. And with all due respect to Bruce, I don't know if God Gave Rock and Roll to You would have been on anybody's list anyways. But that's OK. We make mistakes and we admit them. So we fucked up, but that's OK. But, yeah, so the poll was, we discussed our favorite fifth track from the Kiss studio albums, which of these is your favorite, and then we threw in the little addendum that Domino was not an option because of our fuck-up. So the options were Rock Bottom, Charisma, Let Me Go Rock and Roll, Tomorrow, Tonight. The poll started out pretty tight between Rock Bottom, Charisma, and Let Me Go Rock and Roll. Rock Bottom ended up running away with it. 36%, Charisma, 26%, Let Me Go Rock and Roll, 24%. And my poor Tomorrow and Tonight that Zeus loves just as much as I do, maybe more, just comes in last. Come on, people. 14, 13%. That just ain't right. That ain't right. Patty McLeod, she's a super fan, had to pick Charisma because Gene just played it on the weekend. That is very true, Patty. Nobody was more excited than me to hear that one. Our buddy Chris Deese, Charisma all day. I can't wait for the sixth song episode. Some good choices. So he's already looking ahead for when we get to the sixth song episode. Love it. Anthony Lawrence says, I really like the live version of Rock Bottom, but the studio version doesn't work as well for me. I went with Charisma, not just because it's my favorite song of the four, but I always thought for all the crap about Dynasty meeting disco, the album did have some killer tunes on it. Yes, you are correct. Yes, agreed. Let's fly through the feedback here. I'm going to throw it back to you, Zeus, for some Facebook stuff.
All right. Over on the Book of Face. Tony Griggs, great call on Danger. What a great song. Paul, Eric, and Vinny bring it. One of their most underrated songs. I've said it often. Vinny and Eric gave Kiss metal relevance. Great point. Mark Weiss. Yes, Zeus. Love seeing Stand on the List.
Oh,
that song kicks ass.
What are these, all Zeus burner accounts? What? Nobody likes Stand except for you.
That's what I thought too, Tom. I thought I was on a ledge by myself. Mark Flores Music, Uncle A / Elvis new single. P.S. bonus track. The single is Side A, Speeding Back to My Baby Back Ribs. And Side B, Priscilla Won't Talk to Me. Bonus track, World Without Hero Sandwich, and Mystery Train Wreck.
Nice. Oh, man.
Jason Warden says, love how you guys always come up with a new way to discuss our favorite band. I think Baby Driver would have been a great addition to an action scene in the movie Baby Driver from a few years ago, especially when Pete starts getting down. I also dig Stand.
Oh,
and have no hate for Read My
it.
Body. Over on our Loudcasters group page, Tom Mangiuia. I don't know. It's a real Italian name. I think that's the big jacked up guy.
He's not Italian. He's not Italian.
He's not Italian?
No.
It's about as Italian sounding name and looking name as possible. No. Regardless, he's got hamstrings like animals, Tom. Can't believe I'm about to do this, but I actually agree with Zeus. I like Stand.
Oh, come on.
And my buddy does, too. It's Cinco de Mayo Miracle. My favorite number five is I'm Alive.
Tom, come on, man.
Stop doing that to me.
You know what? We're going to start doing Come On, Man, like the NFL countdown show or whatever with those guys. Ugh.
Josh Brown says he ranks his stuff, and he gives his list, and then Steve Wood and them go back and forth. Steve Good gives his list as well. Josh had Tomorrow Tonight number one. Steve had Baby Driver number one.
Interesting. I love that. Love that. Thank you, guys.
John Whiteman says, no honorable mention for track number five on Anomaly, Genghis Khan.
That's not happening.
Over on our Instagram, Radio Chaos says, great episode. More Ace impressions, please. The story of Ace shitting himself at Graceland nearly made me crash my car. I was laughing so hard.
No comment.
More of that shit, please. Charisma for me was the clear win in these lists. I love it how everyone could disagree and yet still be mates. Godspeed from down under, gents. Love ya.
Awesome. Thank you.
Over on our YouTube page, Mark Stewart. Two quick comments. Number one, I love Baby Driver. Peter screams shines. Ace's guitar playing in the chorus rocks. My favorite 70s Kiss studio track of all time. Number two, we got to win this race. We got to paint our face and we got to play like Ace because it's not your place. That made me spit out my beer across the room.
Nice.
Squiggums. The Spaceman Goes to Graceland is probably the funniest thing I've heard all year. Damn, I love you guys.
Love you.
Mr. Antonio 2005. In 1982, Paul writes the fabulous tune Danger with Adam Mitchell. Fast forward 40 plus years and Paul writes fabulous tweets about pasta sauce with orange juice. Lord help us, Chief and Zeus. Eddie Thompson. Hey guys, love the show. Leave it to Zeus to take it off the tracks with Ace shitting himself after eating one of Elvis's peanut butter and banana, fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches. I laughed so hard, I cried. Classic Zeus, glad hell or high water got some love. Awesome episode. Keep throwing ropes.
Okay.
Chris Flood adds, hey, Chief, just to let you know, Elvis 9 times out of 10 would have added bacon to that sandwich. Also, Elvis had a chef whose only job was to make him a hamburger. Good job picking Baby Driver in Danger there. Top 20 Kiss songs to me. Don't blame you for not going on the Monsters of Rock cruise, but better not hear you going on the Dire Straits Filipino ferry boat ride.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Tom, over to you.
All right, let's blow through some emails. So we got some emails from our buddy Alex White, fellow Patreon, fellow New Hampshire, and Small World, also has one of his daughters is at Keene State with my son. I have yet to have a chance to talk with my son yet. He's all over the place, home and moving, but I want to find out if they know each other. That would make the world really small. Alex says, what a tough ranking this is. So many horrible songs at number five, but I put Rock Bottom at number one. Yes, Alex, agreed. Rock Bottom or Charisma, those are all great too. Mike H. had a really interesting one. The day after the Derby here in Kentucky, and I was just thinking how there are a ton of Kiss song titles that would make awesome racehorse names. That is all. Ooh, maybe an episode for next year. We got one from Matt Murphy. who went to Arlington Catholic, but I don't think he's the Matt Murphy that I know. But that's a story for a separate day, maybe when we talk to Matt himself. Guys, truly enjoyed your end of episode rant after the movie review. It made me think of this fine example of crowd banter by the most personable of musicians, Van Morrison. He sends an audio file of Van Morrison in the crowd. Love that stuff. America's favorite realtor. Awesome show. Love hearing you guys rank Kiss stuff. Your opinions are always great. In regards to something that you mentioned on the show, the Loudcasters group is the absolute best. If people are listening to the show and aren't in the Loudcasters Facebook group and aren't on Patreon, they're totally missing out. Thank you guys for providing such an awesome place for, as my wife likes to say, old guys to share our love for the hottest band in the world without any bullshit. And congrats on number one. Nobody deserves it more. Thanks, guys. Joey, America's favorite realtor, Romanek. And that's what we got for emails.
All right. We'll end with the final comment, and that is, we got this on Facebook from our buddy Paul Hyder. Absolutely love Charisma and think it's only second to God of Thunder as Gene's anthem. So happy for you lads on your number one Pantheon ranking. He's referring to Pantheon Podcast Network. There's over 100 shows there, basically. And last month we were number one. In case you haven't really already figured it out, it's you, Chief and Zeus, not Kiss, that keeps bringing us back to the show, as well as all your other podcasts. We like Kiss. We love you guys. Paul, thank you for the kind words. We appreciate it. It makes us feel great. Can't hide that. And for that, Paul, you are comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. I like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Awesome. Love it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Paul, you're the best, buddy. Tom, what we do next is we give a shout out to our Patreon family. And we are fortunate enough to have two new members.
All right.
Tyler Wettig joins us as a spaceman. And Andrew Graves joins us as a catman. Tyler and Andrew, thank you so much for joining. We really appreciate it. Thank you. We hope that you'll enjoy your membership with Patreon. I think you will. Patreon is where a group of supporters of the show have our own little membership, and you can become involved. You join by joining one of the four tiers that we have, obviously by the characters, the demon, the spaceman, Catman, Star Child. All four tiers have offer different things. So whatever financially you can afford to do to support the show, we appreciate it. Join. You get perks from us. You get part of the community. And it is a community and a family. You heard what the America's Greatest Realtor said. You're really missing out. It's a different aspect of the show. A lot more information. You get involved in a lot of the feedback, the input towards the show. There's merch, there's video calls, there's all sorts of stuff that we do. If you really like the show and you like what we do and you want us to continue, the best way to do that, support the show, is join our Patreon subscription. So if you can, go to our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com. Right there on the landing page is a link, and it'll say Patreon. Go on and join and find out what all the fun is and all the excitement's all about on Patreon.
Love you guys. You guys are the best. Andrew and Tyler, thank you so much for joining the party. We can't thank you enough for all your generosity, and that goes for all of our Patreon family, which gladly is growing, and we love it, and we love you guys. So thank you so much.
Yeah, Tom, what we do next is we should go over to Kiss World and go on discuss what's going on there. Do you have anything?
Yeah. Ace's chick on the side there, fiance, whatever, is now recording background vocals and posting just pictures of her. I'm like, everybody's like, yeah, great work, Yoko. Like, just cut the shit. And everyone's like, oh, what's the problem? Be like, okay, if if you enjoy that, great, great. I think it's obnoxious. I think there's no need for it. And I think it you could see the writing on the wall, the way she gloms onto Ace. And now, you know, and now, and other people saying, oh, you know, she was also on his last album. That might be true. Okay. But she wasn't posting pictures of herself recording, you know, and screaming into the mic and being like, look at me. Like, it looks like it's like she's cutting her own album. She's not. It's Ace's album. Sorry. Yeah, that's the news and my rant.
He never learned from his mistakes.
Nope.
It was, oh, where's Rachel and all this stuff. And this is why he gets porked. Okay. Keep that shit separate. You're going to get fucked in the end, literally. And yep. We know about his pegging fantasies. So he's going to get fucked. Anyways, that's the Ace stuff. And I hope he doesn't. That's the answer. But you know what? He's got to be careful. He's just asking for trouble.
Yep.
And the only other thing I was going to mention, Tom, is, you know, Paul put his foot in it. He started talking about all the trans stuff. And he saw the reaction he got and he took it back. And he should have known better. There's no right side to it. Either side, everybody's full of hate, piss, and vinegar. You ain't gonna win that. And the reason you would stick your fucking nose into it and your opinion into it is because you just want to see, what does Paul Stanley have to say? But nobody gives a fuck, dude. Stay out of that shit. What the fuck is wrong with you? What's wrong with everybody?
The only thing worse. Now, I'm not gonna. Let me be clear here. I'm not gonna say whether I fully agree, fully disagree with his original statement. But I will say it was a thoughtful presentation of an opinion, whether you agree or disagree. The only thing worse than having an ill-informed opinion is having an opinion and then backtracking it. There's nothing more hollow and shallow than taking the time to post something on a hot button topic, seeing the reaction and being like, well, no, that's not what I meant. This, I meant this. Just either, you know, do it or don't.
He just wanted to do what he's always done. Oh, what does Paul Stanley of Kiss say about this?
Well, guess what? When people responded, he was like, oh my God, people don't like what I said. Okay, let me say this instead.
Yeah.
Just awful. Anyways, that's it.
Tom, give me a second. Let me go ask Ace's girlfriend what the set list for his next show will be. Yeah, don't ask me. Go ask Laura. She'll tell you what it's going to be and what I'm going to play and how I'm going to dress.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them? was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Ace is also confused. He had no idea she was on the album either. He turned around and goes, "What the hell are you doing here?" Sorry.
You know what else he said, Tom? He said, "Hey, how bad can it be? I mean, I already have Joey Quesada playing on it."
Might as well take all the rejects on this album.
might as well get all the non-talent musicians to play on it.
Hey, who else isn't in the Shout It Out Loudcast Hall of Fame? Lara, get over here. All right, let's get into it.
All right, let's start a long time ago. Tom and I were talking about doing a podcast. And from that time to be where we were last weekend, you guys have no fucking idea how an amazing weekend we had. It was insane. An evening with Gene Simmons was just... we're going to try to put it into words. I was going to say I couldn't put it into words, but we're going to try to. While back, I saw the advertisement. He came in and I'm like, "Tom, what do you think?" He's like, "What the fuck is this?" And we were like, "I don't know. Should we do it? We'll do it." Like, you know, God bless, you know, our heroes are getting older, and all those meet and greets, you know, you get, walk by on a fucking escalator or something. And then you wave to them and they wave to you, take a quick snapshot and you're gone. I don't know how much meet and greet there was. This seemed like a legitimate get to talk and hang with Gene. Monetarily, we were able, fortunate enough to be able to afford it. And we felt that, you know, what he was saying in the advertisement was going to be worth it. Believe me, it was worth it and 10 times more worth it. But we decided to do it. And then we decided, let's not tell anybody about it. Let's just go through and see what it is. And we'll give our honest opinion. So that's where I'm starting. Tom, you want to add something?
Yeah. When it came out, I'm like, man, this sounds like incredible, but what the fuck? Like, and then we started talking like, all right, there's probably not going to be a cruise this year. We don't know if they, so maybe our big banger of an event will be this, you know.
Talk about the price. I mean, it's $5,000, right?
Right, right.
So we're like $2,500 each, which roughly is what you're going to be spending on the cruise.
Right, right. So we registered for it, and then we start getting emails, and we're like, oh, fuck, like, this is going to be pretty insane. Like, this is going to be pretty fucking awesome. Because once you register, you start to get, like, more detailed information about, like, this is what's going to happen on this day at this time. Like, they break it down and kind of get you hyped up for it. So, yeah, pretty amazing. Let's get into it.
So we decided on we're definitely doing it. And the day came and we're like, holy fuck, I cannot believe it. We have to make arrangements for our homes and stuff like that. That was done. And then we boarded what would be called, honestly, the worst flight I've ever fucking been on. Not because of turbulence or anything like that. The flight was fine. The worst flight. We took Spirit Airlines to get to Vegas. Want to give them all the highlights, Tom?
5 hours and 10. The only thing that would have been worse is if the plane crashed. That would have been the only thing that would have been worse. And I'll be honest with you. If it crashed, it might have been an upgrade because it would have shortened the flight. Okay. 5 hours and 10 minutes of being shoved in like grandpa's rocking chair with a seat tray that is literal. This is not figure. I am being literal. It is the size of
a picture of it.
It's the size of a business envelope. Okay. It was hilarious because they come by for drinks. First of all, nothing's free. Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So Zeus is like, oh, I'll have this and a water and a Coke. I look over, I go, where are you going to put all that? the tray can't fit anything.
I was like a fucking like velociraptor. My fingers and hands are like, like holding drinks and my elbows crunched in. So never mind the fact that it was like $25 for like a ginger ale water and a fucking right. whatever and a tea that I got.
Right.
Okay. Other than the fact that all the you know, airline, what are they called now? They're not called
flight
stewards.
Flight attendants
were all hot. Right. They were hot and they actually had a sense of humor because they kept saying something about,
oh, God,
oh, the air is free here. Like, oh, that's what we get, free air.
My favorite line was, she goes, as we take off, press the button to put your seat up. Just kidding. They don't move.
The seat.
And they don't move.
Was literally like a cement park bench or a stands yep. at the high school football game. And you had to sit in that, squeezed in. With no electronics, no charging station, no TV in front of you, nothing.
Not even
5 hours.
There wasn't even a seat pocket in front of us. There was like a rubber band.
Yep, nothing. So, like, I have glasses, I have a hat. You can't put it every time. By the end of the flight, I was like the person behind me. Hey, my credit card's on the floor. My glasses are there somewhere. And so is my hat. Can you get me all three of them?
Now, if people are listening and wondering, why the hell did you do that? Because the day and time, Zeus and I hate flying, so it's got to be direct. We don't do layovers. It was the only thing we could find on that day and in that time frame to go Boston to Vegas direct. Now, quick sidebar, the funny thing, my mom, we're recording on Wednesday the 10th. My mom flew back to Florida on Tuesday the 9th. She found a flight for $60 on Spirit. She had never flown Spirit before. She goes, I don't know what the problem. I had a wonderful flight. Like, wait, what? How? Yeah. How did you have a wonderful flight, Mom?
It should be illegal for you to be in a plane in that uncomfortable situation for more than 2 hours. It should have been illegal.
And I actually thought we flew Spirit before. I believe it was when
it
we
wasn't
went
that
to,
bad.
No, but this is what I'm saying. We went to Nashville, I believe. So that was like 2-3 hours. So
but
I'm
that
like, okay.
flew us first to, I think, Florida to get to Nashville, right?
So my stupid brain said, well, this is going to be a cross-country flight, 5+ hours. Maybe it's a better plane. Nope. Fuck it. See you later.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Waiting for the Kiss stars to be like, what the fuck? I'm already tuned in. Tell us about the experience. I don't want to hear about your flight problems.
Well, then hit that little fast forward button or go fuck yourself. You can do either one of those.
I prefer the go fuck yourself part. Anyway, so we land. We're staying at the Rio where the event is being held.
Yep.
We walk in. Everything is self. You self fucking check in and do whatever. We bring our shit up to the room, and we had talked with Eddie Trunk about maybe meeting up with him because he just finished the Monsters of Rock cruise, and he had flown in. He said he was going to be in Vegas just Friday night, which we got there, and then he had an event in for the Dio family, a Dio event in California the next day. So he was only going to be in there really for that night, and we're like, okay. Me and Tom went out and we ate, had our dinner. Dinner was fine. You know, it's about 11:30. We're kind of tired or something. We go up to our room. Literally the second we get in our room, we sit down and like, all right, you want to call it a night? Boom. Fucking, we get the text. Eddie's there. He's downstairs and we go downstairs to meet him.
Yeah, we head down to, so when you walk in the front door of the Rio, there's this like small bar. It's kind of a raised up with like some comfy cushions and stuff. So we head down there and Eddie's there. By the way, I hope Eddie's listening here. Eddie's like, like taller and a way bigger dude than I thought. I was like,
yeah, he says that, like, he gets that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he stood up to shake our hands. I'm like, God damn. but he was there. He was there with Brent Woods, which we'll get into playing with Gene. Brent Fitz, couple of their friends and girlfriends and everything. Yeah, yep. It was, and we're just sitting there just shooting the shit. And we talked about everything. It wasn't just Kiss. It wasn't just Gene Simmons. I was picking Eddie's brain about Monsters of Rock and talking about that. You were picking the brain. We were kind of sitting across from each other. So we were talking amongst each other, but then we were having kind of like one-on-one conversations. And, you know, next thing we know, it's like fucking 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
Yeah, I ended up talking first. It's funny because I was like, he's like, yeah, I'm down here with Brent. And I'm like, oh, Fitzy. And he's like, no, Woods. I'm like, who the fuck is that? But I got to meet him, and he's a fucking great guy. Great sense of humor and a kick-ass guitar player. I'll tell you.
We'll get into that.
And then Fitzy did come. I think he brought his wife with him. Yep. And, you know, just talking with those guys. It was fucking awesome. We were going on and on and on for a while, and what was great is you get to hear some stuff, you know, that was somewhat we can't repeat, but it was awesome talking with them when we go into 1-ish in the morning, and we call it a night and get ready for the next day where the event is actually happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a great night hanging with those guys. So the next day those events start at, well, this is before we had a $75 breakfast. Well, we did that first on Saturday.
No, it ended up being like 90 with tips and everything like that. Yeah. What'd you get? I got an omelet when they put two slices of American cheese on top of it. Like they melted it in a microwave.
And that American cheese was like those Kraft singles. Yeah, like you peel a plastic up.
I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. The Rio is just real, needs in some real renovations.
That's fine. It's trashy. We saw some friggin' professional women walking around, put it that way.
The amount of like not appropriate attire women.
The amount of women wearing ill-fitting clothing.
Yes.
Who look like they should not be wearing ill-fitting clothing.
It was just loud and proud. Oof. And what the fuck? There were fucking movements. There were people with like fucking just tops full of like what was looked like mashed potatoes in their fucking bras. It was just like fucking camel toes galore. It was just inappropriate. Like, Jesus.
And we haven't even gotten to when went out to the pool. We haven't even gotten there yet. I got a good pool story, but anyway, so Saturday's event start at noon. We go down, and the Rio is a massive complex of a hotel. So to get down to our room, I mean, it's like a good like 10-12 minute walk all the way to the other side with the convention. Oh, wait a minute.
You didn't tell everybody about our hallway. It looked like fucking airplane. Okay. Like what do you call it?
A runway strip.
Just fucking like a mile long with no exit at the end.
They should have had like one of those, like, you know, when you go to like the Magic Kingdom and they have like the shuttle that takes you from the park, they should have had somebody at the end of the hall be like, let me take you to your room.
Yeah, it was fucking ridiculous. But regardless, we end up going into the function room where they're having the event. So the first thing you walk in, you can see there's all these tables lined up with a bunch of Gene shit or Gene crap or Gene memorabilia, depending on how you see all this stuff. And a lot of it is just like, what the fuck is this? When did that get ever done? And he's got price tags on it. There's live silent auctions for these things. There's prices on things you can buy. And of course, there's a million Kistards. Nobody's following directions. No one's in one line just continuing. It's like people are popping in, sticking their fucking heads in. It's just whatever. But in front of that are chairs with numbers on them for obviously pointing towards a small stage, which we realize, oh, that's where the band is going to be playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you walk in, you get the live, the silent auction, which, I mean, not all, a lot of the stuff you'd be like, ah, what is this for? But some of the stuff was really, I mean, if you're really, really into like personalized collectible items. And then the other half of the room was just like a big, like Kiss shop of stuff that, you know, they took from his warehouse and, you know, whatever. Some of the stuff was new. Some of the stuff was like real classic shit from the 70s. Like saw a lot of like Dynasty Unmasked stuff, but I'm not spending that kind of, I mean, I'm a collector, but I'm not, wasn't spending that kind of
money. Yeah. We saw the mirrors, the Kiss mirrors that were there. There was, I mean, but then again, there's stuff like, House of Lords fucking pictures. Like the fuck is looking for that, you know, unsigned or anything like that. Not by Gene or anything. There's letters, there's memorabilia, there's different stuff. It's just whatever. But to some collectors, obviously, they love that stuff. Just wasn't for me personally.
Yeah. So what you do that, and then it's kind of like then the event. You know, Gene was supposed to go on. I think what like 1:30-ish, give or take.
Yeah, we didn't know they were doing a lunch for us too, and they had a nice little spread lunch.
They really there. Did. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really nice. You know, some sandwiches and things like that. So we had our lunch, we brought it in, and then, it was organized. I'll tell you that. So then you had your card, you know, you have your spot, you can sit down. And we were lucky enough to see both the Brents. We were talking to them before the show and they're like, oh, wait till you see what we're playing. You know, we kind of got a hint of it, but it was great seeing those guys. And, I was looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. But before Gene comes on,
they brought out the Mentalist, Jerry McCambridge, big Vegas guy. I'm a sucker for that kind of entertainment, especially when you're in the mood. Everybody's kind of excited and kind of in a good mood. And he was doing things with the crowd. I'm thinking of a Kiss song from 1 to 100. Like what number? You know, playing, doing like little dice tricks and stuff like that. It was good. The crowd was getting amped up. And then all of a sudden you start to see kind of everybody coming to the side of the stage, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, that's Bruce Kulick. Wait a minute, that's Eric Singer. Wait, what the fuck is going on here?
Yep.
And then everybody just is really getting amped up for what we're about to see.
Yeah. And then you're starting to realize, holy shit, this is going to be a little bit better than what we expected.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Gene comes up. Gene starts talking. He is just... you got to love him. He's got the self-deprecating humor. When he's out there talking about the fans and what this event means to him and everything, he seemed about as sincere as I've ever heard a performer talk.
Yeah. Not only was he sincere, but he looked, I mean, we know Gene, we've been following him since we were friggin' 5 years old. I mean, but he seemed like he was like, when he got up on the stage and was talking, you could see that he cared about this event. He cared about the people that were, that paid to be there, that, you know, it meant a lot, you know, and I know this, of course it meant a lot. Everybody paid $5,000. No. You could see that Gene really was like into the crowd, and he was funny. He was goofy. He was humorous. He was off the cuff. He was, like Zeus said, he was self-deprecating. It's like, this is why people love this guy. He's a crowd pleaser. He's a regular dude up there, you know?
It's a win-win what he created.
Absolutely.
He said he wanted to come up with a system that worked, where the fans can have more interaction with, you know, the, let's call him the artist, such as him. And how can they, and this is like almost like a prototype that he's designed to do this. Like Kiss created the, you know, meet and greet. This is another way. And for us, I'm like, the guy's just a genius, but you can tell when he's talking about this, like, what is my legacy? He's videotaping the whole thing to put it on videotape. There's a guy taking pictures as well. And he said that he's like, look, what am I going to do with this when I leave this earth? I don't want it to go to places with the fucking, you know, in a warehouse and stuff like that. I want it to go to the fans because I know they will take care of this stuff.
Yep.
So he really was sincere about it. I truly believe that. And then, you know, he calls up his band.
Yeah. And they rip right into, they start off with Plaster Caster, one of our favorites. Sounds amazing.
When he started that, I was like, why do I know this song? Because that's how you think when these songs get played, because you're always like, dude, wait a minute. This isn't Deuce. Wait a minute. Right. This isn't Shout It Out Loud. This is something different.
Yep.
And they do fucking Plaster Caster and it kicks fucking ass.
Yeah. And then my head explodes because they play Charisma, which sounded incredible. And you got Todd Kearns and the guys doing the background vocals and like just, oh, God, just incredible. And then all of a sudden, Gene welcomes Bruce and Eric to come out. So you got 3/4 of the Revenge era lineup doing Domino from Revenge. And people like, holy fuck, like, whoa, what is going on here?
Yes.
And then they break into Nothing to Lose with Eric Singer on vocals. Couple observations that Zeus and I talked about with Eric. You want to start with what we thought about Eric?
Eric was way more animated, way more involved. Yep. Way more energy. Looked like he was having fun up there. And he wouldn't shut up, too, because him and Gene were like cracking jokes on each other, shitting on each other.
Yeah, just a totally different vibe with Eric, you know, killing it. Then they go into Going Blind. Kind of a weird choice, but yeah, Gene likes it. He started making jokes about the lyrics about, you know, I'm 93, you're 16. He's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, Paul gave it to him. He's like, that's weird. He's like, yeah, put it in there. And he was talking about that. And then he, once again, ad-lib, I wrote Strutter.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I love that. Brent Fitz comes back to the drum kit, and they go into Watching You, which is obviously incredible. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, we always talk about that Winterland performance. It's almost 50 years ago, and now he's in front of us now singing the same song with, like, the same kind of energy and the same kind of, like, just vibe. But then they go into Deuce. Now, I don't know what it is about this song. It's always been one of my favorites. I know it's fatigue, it's overplayed, blah, blah, blah. This was one of the most. So you have Brent on drums, you got Todd Kearns, you got Bruce Kulick, you got Brent Woods, and you got Gene on bass. This was one of the most gnarliest borderline metal versions of Deuce I've ever heard. It was fucking incredible. I'm like, this song is, again, 50 years old. And these guys, if this was like recorded right now, this would be like a rock radio hit. It was I love that version.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Fucking energy off the charts.
It was nuts. They were all feeding off of each other. They were all looking at each other and be like, "We're all here doing this right now, playing fucking Deuce with Gene and Bruce." Then they go into another one of my all time favorites that you'll never hear ever again. They go into Radioactive. Loved it. Sounded great. Then Gene, because he loves the fans, loves the crowd, calls up about 5 or 6 women, places them across different sections of the stage, and they do I Was Made for Loving You, and he's got all the women doing the parts. It was fun. It was interactive. They got a kick out of it, you know?
Yeah.
They go into Christine 16. It's another Love Gun song that I love. He making some jokes about how it's not appropriate. You can't say anything these days.
Yep.
Which I love Gene for saying that. Then they go into Unholy, but they only play like part of it because Gene's like, I fucking can't remember this.
Yeah.
I can't remember this.
Funny. That was funny.
It was funny. And then they wrapped it up with Let Me Go Rock and Roll. But I will say this. I always talk about how I like this live. And we saw Brent Woods after, because Brent Woods was doing like the solo. He was playing like the ace role for the concert. He absolutely destroyed the solo in this song. It was incredible. It sounded amazing. And I think maybe that's why people love this song so much, because it does kick ass live. Kind of a weird song to end with. I was kind of like, that's kind of a weird one, because you guys play that. It's a classic, like not ending on something a little bit off the, you know, kind of off the beaten path there a little bit. But I mean, no complaints. Fucking incredible, incredible show.
Yeah, I felt the guys obviously had a ton of energy. And having Todd play guitar and, you know, watching him interact with Gene and Eric and Bruce and Brent, you know, it was interesting, very interesting, to say the least. You know, you got 3/4 of the Revenge Kiss up there. And then you have Todd and you're like, we'll save that for later.
Yeah, we'll save that for later.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then they get off stage and then they do some of the meet and greets. Like ours wasn't going to be until the next day. So they did a little bit of the meet and greets with some of the people. And then, you know, sometimes in the crowd after the show, Eric would walk by and then someone would come by. And there's always Kiss fucking tards that have to ruin it. Like, just can't be patient. Somebody will be talking to either Eric or, let's say, Todd or somebody else. And then somebody just has to stick up, run in, stick their hand in. Hey, can you sign it? Like, it's like, what the fuck, dude? Then they're like, you know what? I'll be right back, guys. And you're like, no, great. Now he just left. Thanks. Good going, dickhead.
Yeah, we'll get into that again when we talk about the Sunday night dinner.
Oh, but yeah. Just obnoxious fucking people.
Yep.
Most of the people got it and understood.
But it was the same fucking people. I'm like, oh, look at this. Here comes this fucking mutt again.
Yeah.
Like, dude, fucking just wait. Just wait.
No fucking sense of like,
no.
Dude, just follow the rules and everybody's going to be fucking happy.
Yep.
Okay. You're going to get your fucking turn. Relax.
But
nope. Got to be a fucking moron. Anyway, so the event was awesome. The fucking music, the thing was great. And what was wonderful is like, ah, fuck, we can't even post anything about this. We're going to fucking just save it for later. We'll go through all our stuff. So then later on, we decided, you know, we went back to the room, changed. We went to the pool. That fucking pool, I have pictures of all this stuff. We'll post it. The pictures were like charcoal black chairs. The fucking outdoor, the main first pool you go to, there was like 4 or 5 pools when you walk outside. The first one not working. The other pool, which had the 2 jacuzzis, both jacuzzis not working. Just what the fuck, dude?
And now the thing about the pool area, it was that if it was taken care of, if it was kept up, or, you know, somebody said that they heard that the Rio was recently sold. So maybe they're in transition with ownership and upkeep and rehabbing or whatever. But the area where the pool is, if it's taken care of, it's a gorgeous area. It's huge. There's like maybe 4 pools. There's some like outdoor bars, some cabanas that you can rent.
Waterfalls and cliffs.
Yeah. So, but it just wasn't really kept. And then the people, I'm sorry, you've been listening to our show long enough. We're just going to say it the way it is. We're not going to mention any ages or genders or anything like that. We're just going to make some of these people should have talked with a consultant before they left their hotel room with their selected bathing suits. Holy fuck. Just my God.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
One of my favorite stories was a group of women enjoying themselves, large women wearing bathing suits that didn't really cover as much as the bathing suits should have. And we're sitting in the chairs and I, you know, talk to the little, you know, pool waiter. I'm like, I'll take a beer, fucking whatever. I'm sitting there. And one of the ladies gets out of the pool. And I don't think Zeus heard me because he was actually in the pool on the other side. So I'm sitting there. She gets out of the pool. She goes, oops, titty.
Titty came out.
She goes, oops, titty out. I'm like, and her friend's like, woohoo. I'm like, no wonder it fell out. Look at what you're wearing. There's no way you can contain that.
Pop was holding a bag of sand. It was just like,
God, just what the fuck? And then all of a sudden, all the lifeguards are like, the pool's closed. I looked at Zeus and go, somebody's shit in the pool again. That's the only reason for an emergency pool closure at 5 o'clock on a Saturday. This is 5 o'clock on a Saturday.
Well, as you were pointing to some of the fucking pool policies written on the wall there, Tom.
Read it.
Do not swim if you are ill with diarrhea or have had diarrhea within the past 2 weeks. Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. And then a big brown shark came.
Just what the fuck? Needless to say, showered a couple times after you leave that.
Oh, God.
What am I doing?
And then we go back. We get cleaned up. We're like, all right, let's go on a mission for some Chinese food.
Yes.
This should have been filmed. Because we don't know what the fuck we're doing. Like, call an Uber. Let's go to Chinatown. Dude, this Chinatown, this was like the equivalent of like a strip mall from the 70s that's like semi-abandoned. I'm like, this ain't fucking Chinatown. This can't be what they refer
and
to as
every
Chinatown.
Place. They didn't. None of them had like, you know, American Chinese food.
Right.
You know, hot and sour soups, chicken fingers, wings, spare ribs, fried rice, orange chicken.
Nope.
Everyone would refer to it. Oh, you mean like Panda Express?
Yes.
Every other place had like seafood and sushi type and this and that, but nothing was generic. Everything was like real like fucking Chinese food. We're like, we want fucking Panda Express shit.
Yes.
It was a waste of our time. It looked like a strip mall. Yeah. Like, this is Chinatown? This can't be it. Needless to say, there was more other places that we didn't know. They didn't tell us. So we didn't find anything. We Ubered it back. Yep. And we ended up going to the Korean barbecue place inside the hotel.
Incredible.
And ate like fucking $500 worth of food.
They had it's Kang's Kitchen, the Korean barbecue. So you sit at your table, you have your own personal gas grill built into the table, and then like a little exhaust thing that they pull down. And so we did the all you can eat. Okay, $50 a person, pork, beef, chicken, like 8 or 9 different kinds of pork, 4 or 5 different kinds of beef, 2 kinds of chicken, or whatever, you know, all this shit. They come out, they bring out all, now granted, lovely, lovely women. Maybe I understood every 8th or 9th word that was coming out of their mouth.
Yeah,
no clue.
Half of the other food, like the side dishes they would bring out, I'm like, dude, that I'm not fucking touching that.
I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it was a lot of extra food that like we didn't even look at. But the food that we did eat was delicious. The thing was awesome. Oh. I've never had it before. So good on them. It was nice.
Yeah, they just come right out with a bowl of like raw whatever you want, like, you know, Kobe beef. They just and they cook it right in front of you. They serve it to you and just like, all right, bring us more.
Two of them were a little hotties, man. We're hoping to cook their beef. Korean beef.
Okay, give you some fucking Kobe beef.
Get some of that Korean beef flaps.
but it was good. Money well spent. I'll tell you, it was fucking incredible. Oh, yeah. Amazing.
So like old men. We decided to watch some of the hockey game and just fucking call it a night early.
Passed out. Like not even on purpose. Just literally just fucking lost it and passed out.
Because we knew we'd have a big day ahead of us the next day.
Yep. Yep.
And that's what we started with. So we woke up early because we passed out early. And we went to the Mob Museum, Tom.
Unbelievable. Never even knew this thing existed. So it's the Mob Museum. And then it's like the National Museum of Organized Crime and Law Enforcement or something. It's in an old big giant courthouse in Vegas. Absolutely mind blowing. So well done. Interactive. Three floors, including a basement. And the basement is modeled like you're going into a speakeasy that actually has like a fully functional bar.
Yeah, but if you like that stuff, like Tom and I love the mob and the mafia and stories like that, you would really get a kick out of it. We enjoyed it a lot. They have a lot of fucking stories, information stuff, and that was a lot of fun. So if you like that stuff and you're in Vegas, I would recommend you guys go see that.
It was great.
We enjoyed ourselves at that place. Then we found a Chinese food place.
Thank God. What was it called? Kung Fu Panda or something?
Literally Kung Fu.
I think it was
Chinese food.
I think it was called Kung Fu something.
Yeah. It was Kung Fu Chinese place.
It was incredible. It was awesome.
Yeah,
we
ordered a lot of food.
Yeah.
And then Tom felt a little tingle on his leg.
And yeah, I'm sitting there going,
what the fuck is that?
What's that? Well, do you want to tell them what it was?
Of course I had to bring the spray. I sprayed one shot on the table. Tom's like, that fucking hit my leg. He gets up and leaves. So he leaves me alone. We're at the end of the meal, obviously. The guy, I already gave him the bill. The guy comes back, and I was joking with him, going, oh, my stomach. He comes back. He takes a whiff. He goes, oh. He just steps backwards. He walks backwards.
Then we get outside and Zeus sprays like a little bit of it like into like a bush.
Because you were like, I don't think it's I think it smells more like puke than shit. I'm like, oh, right. Let's find out. So I sprayed one more.
So he sprays it into like a little area of like a bush near the thing. And all of a sudden, like a gust of wind comes and it smells like somebody took my face and shoved it where my dog shits in the morning. Just fucking brutal.
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
So you may be wondering, why didn't you do that in the hotel? Like, you know, I'm like, this is Vegas and casinos. They have
cameras
everywhere, and if they fucking wanted to pinpoint exactly when someone first saw the smell and stuff, and if they ever caught that, I'm not getting thrown out of the event and shit like that. Fuck that.
Yep.
So we just did it for a little bit of fun. I can't help myself. This is the stupid shit that I do. I had to spray it. So now we get ready for the meet and greet. Want to let people know how that went?
Yeah, so that event started, well, according to the information we have, we were quote unquote late for it. But thankfully it didn't mess anything up. So the meet and greet is set up in the area where the concert was. And they have rows of like, you know, banquet tables. And what they do is they call you by number, and they have a Gene Simmons bass road case. And they're like, okay, number 60, you come over here, you get lined up. It's like, okay, what are the two items that you want signed? You put them on top of the road case. And then when it's your turn, Gene comes over and you got 5 or 10 minutes to shoot the shit with him. We'll get into that. And he signs your items. And this is something I didn't know. We knew that we were going to be getting things from, quote, Gene's personal archive, but I didn't know what it was. Gene opens up the road case and it's beautifully organized and filled with all this incredible, like, classic memorabilia, all signed by Gene. It was like a black and white glossy promo photo from the Dynasty era. The Revenge, like, tour itinerary guidebook that the members had, like, posters and pictures, like, stickers, like, just and if you're a collector like I am, like, okay, this is not junk. This is amazing shit. And he autographs the road case. Okay.
Yeah, we got the one with Gene's face with the fire on it.
We got the one with Gene's face on it. Like, it's incredible. But before we did the road case, tell us about about meeting Gene.
Yeah, so like Tom said, there are all these banquet tables. Gene is in the middle of, like, let's say there's three banquet tables. He's in the middle of the row and the behind it. And then three cases would be on the row. And then you'd go down like a supermarket belt, belt? Like conveyor belt.
Yeah.
As one would finish, they'd put another huge case at the back and you just move along. So when we get in front of Gene, we're just like, oh my God. He's like, hi boys. And he fist bumps us. And then he goes, how are you guys? And the funniest thing, so he's having like small talk with us and he's telling us about everything in there. And as much as everyone's like, you know, if I was in front of Gene, I'd be doing this and I'd be saying this. Like, Tom and I kept joking, like, you ain't doing shit. Because as soon as you get up there, you're like, hi, Mr. You're like, and that's how we were. We were fucking like, oh my God. But we managed to talk. And the funny part was, Gene's like, how are you two here together? We're like, oh, we're friends. We're friends from college. You two are friends? It was like seemed like a foreign concept to him.
Yeah, when we walked up, he goes, how long have you two been a couple?
Yeah.
But he was just so like silly and good. And then Zeus was wearing a Gene Simmons for president shirt.
Yeah, that white one that I have. And you want to take a photo of it.
Yeah. So then, you know, we're all saying how, you know, we know you can't be president. We'd love it if you were. He goes, if I was president, at least that's giving us his platform. It's pretty much his platform is I would kill anyone who fucking hurts my family or hurts
if
a person.
You touch my family, my children, you die. Yeah. If you get in a 3,000-pound missile and you hurt somebody, you'll get the death penalty. And we're like, what?
If you go into 7-Eleven and shoot somebody up, like, we're like, okay, this is wonderful. Let's get back to Kiss.
Yeah, I didn't answer. I just say, you know, it's too bad because I know you can't be present because he's born in Israel.
He wasn't born
in the United States. And then it's just fucking funny.
It was great.
And then he went back to it. So you two are friends? Like, yes, dude. What the fuck is that? So fucking, like, why is that so like a foreign concept for him?
Didn't he make like some joke?
Oh, he goes, oh yeah, did you two fuck each other's girlfriends or something? Like, no. What? It's just so funny. And then we're like, so Gene, when are you going to come on to our podcast and stuff? We were talking about it. And he's like, you want me to come on to your podcast?
Yeah. And so I told him, I said, Gene, you have to understand almost everyone on that stage has either been on our show or we've become friends with. Todd has been on our show. Bruce Kulick has been on our show. We've become friendly with Brent Fitz. Like all these guys, you got to be on there. You're inviting me on? Yes, we are. And the conversation continues into the night. So, but then he opens up the road case and he takes the time to explain every item in the road case. Yes. And then he takes pictures and he's just being goofy. Like he's like posing,
he puts his hand on his hair and blows Kiss. Like he's just
an incredible person. And the thing that I love about that, it lightened the mood. It took away because we're like nervous and anxious. Like, holy fuck, Gene Simmons. He just made it like you're hanging out with a guy that you've known your whole life.
What's interesting too, and what was great about it, is the fact that while you're waiting, he's being so funny and kind, you forget that you're waiting.
Exactly.
Because you're so anxious and stuff. But there are still Kiss tards that fucking annoy the fuck out of you. Like, you want your own private time with Gene while you're talking to him and sharing stuff. They're just fucking people in there. Oh, let me, like, dude, you'll get your own turn. Like, taking pictures, being 2 feet away from you. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Yep.
What the fuck, man? Give us some space. Give him some space. He's going to get to you. Relax. They just don't know how to behave, certain people. And what was also great is we forgot to mention that earlier in the day, we had met one of the guys that was we had met him earlier from Creatures Fest. We're not going to say who, but he started coming up to us and talking to us. And we got some great information from him, from other people that recognized our show. Hey guys, did you know this and this and that? All of a sudden, like throughout the time we're there, we're meeting all these people that recognize us from the show. Yeah. And what's funny is like there are other people snotty because there are a lot of rich fucking dicks that had tons of money that are turning around and looking like, who the fuck are these two assholes? Why are people talking to them? Why are people asking for photos with these two assholes?
Because we walked in and Brent Fitz just comes up and he's like, hey guy, like just because he's
same
first one
with Brent Woods and same thing with
like, hey guys, what's going on? And yeah, and everyone's like, how the fuck do you know these people? And be like, well, because we have a show and because we're not like fucking idiots. Well, I guess
we don't act like assholes in front of them. So there was one point we were finally, I've never met Eric Singer, and neither have you. Like Eric was about to, he was talking to some other people. Say, Eric, can we get? And he's like, yeah, no, I'll get to you guys right next.
All of a sudden,
five other people see that, they fucking come over and hover him. He's like, all right, I'll be right back, guys. I'm like, there he goes.
That
fucking
was it.
Assholes can't behave, can't wait their turn. But it's just whatever. We met some friends. We rekindled some older friends that we met at other events. It was just wonderful. You know, it was a great fucking day. So after that, we decide to finally visit the mini golf in the museum as well.
Yeah. The museum was great. It was actually overwhelming. I mean, it was like every goddamn item that's ever been produced in the history of the band. It was overwhelming.
Great call. Overwhelming.
It was overwhelming.
Way too much shit.
Yeah, it was like too much stuff. We didn't get a chance to play mini golf, but you know, we took some pictures. It's like, you know, glow in the dark mini golf stuff. I was a little bit bummed because they didn't actually have any merch, because the woman that we talked to, who was very kind, she said they're in the middle of rebranding because it used to be called Kiss Monster.
She was so nice.
Yeah. So it used to be called Kiss Monster Mini Golf. Now they're rebranding it. They're calling it Kiss World. They must have been listening to our show when we say what's going on in Kiss World. Yeah. So they didn't have any like shirts or merch or anything like that, which is probably good because I would have spent way too much money on that stuff too.
They had some stuff for the females, and I got one for my daughter.
They did. Yes. Yep. That was nice.
But what I also did is I finally tried my first Gene Simmons soda. I had a root beer.
That's right.
Fucking delicious.
Yep.
Fucking delicious. It was so fucking good. You can taste the difference between corn syrup and cane sugar.
Oh yeah.
I'm telling you.
That was the other thing we told Gene too. We said to Gene that we had the money bag guys on. We're buddies with Chris and all those guys, that they were on the show, and he looked at us like, "Ooh, you guys know people.
How do you know John and Paul? You know the wallet? Yeah, remember when we called him Chris?
Yeah, and he's like, well, like yes, wallet?
Yeah, yes. Of course we know them.
Yeah,
and so we got to try the stuff there. We ran into one of the guys, Ryan Barks, who we saw the whole weekend there.
Yes,
we had fun with him a lot of the time. There was the guy that he met his girlfriend on the cruise. They were hanging out with us for a little bit, talking to us.
Eric.
Yep. Yeah. The one I say that looks like Sex Machine from fucking Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes.
Yeah. And him and his girlfriend were there. They were nice people. And throughout the weekend, we ran into Freddie from, he's got his record labels, Latino record labels. I actually won a few Grammys, that company, he said.
Yep. Yep.
Freddie Records, Freddie Martinez. Awesome fucking guy. He was having a ton of fun, and we ran into him at Creatures Fest last time we saw him. So that was great running into those guys. These are some of the guys we just had fun with, and we told them we'd drop their name and tell them, you know, really appreciate the time that we had with them, spent with them. So
and we did run in, and Zeus hinted at too. We don't want to mention his name just because we're not sure if he wants us to, but he knows who he is. We spent some time with him telling stories, you know, involved in some of the activities with Creatures Fest last year and some of the stuff. So hopefully he's listening and he knows who we're talking about, but we don't want to name drop.
Yeah, there's so many great guys and girls that we met on this fucking trip.
Yep.
So anyway, that was a ton of fun. We go back to the room and get ready for the dinner. We get down to the dinner. It's actually, I shouldn't say down. It's actually floor 50, the Voodoo Lounge. We walk in, beautiful view.
Incredible.
We sit down at our table.
Oh, boy, here it comes.
And then you want to tell the story or should I?
No, we'll both tell a little bit of the story here as we wrap up the weekend here with this story. So we sit down. So my big concern, so I'll just tell you this right now if you haven't figured this out. I don't like people. At all, especially strangers. I don't have time for it. Don't bother me. I didn't pay this money to hang out with people I don't want to hang out with. So I said to Zeus, I said, I'm a little bit nervous right now because all the pictures I'm seeing are tables for four. Are you telling me that I'm going to have to sit with two people that I don't know and pretend to be friends with them this entire night? So, okay, we sit down. Table, we look at our table, number 60. I'm like, okay. It's a table for four, but only the number 60 is on it. I'll take it. Okay. All of a sudden, this guy comes over. We're not going to describe who he is in case he listens to the show. But you know what? Fuck it. If he does, he knows the story.
Buddy Hackett?
Buddy Hackett?
He looked like Buddy
so
Hackett.
So he comes over and he's... So it ended up working out well in the end. But for a while, things got... The Boston was starting to come out of the both of us here for a minute. So
right,
the guy
me,
comes
let me,
over
let me
like,
get into this because you're being way too
ahead.
Nice to him. You're being way too nice.
I so haven't gotten there yet. I haven't gotten there yet, but go ahead.
His wife was at the table.
Yes.
And then he says, and she's like, my husband's going to be like, oh, well, she seems nice. Okay. I guess this is who we're sitting with. And then all of a sudden, this fucking guy, you know, the type. Who thinks he can fucking schmooze with anybody? Oh, let me talk to him. And you're the fucking idiot. And you're the simpleton that he'll tell you how it's going to work. So he comes over and goes, hey, we have friends. They really want to sit with us. And since you don't know anybody else, how about we switch? And we have our friends sit here. And Tom is being nice. He's like, okay, that's fine. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. How do I know where your table is? The fuck is that? Why don't you go sit with them? Why are we leaving? That doesn't make sense to me. So anyways, they're like, okay, fine. We go to this fucking place where they were leaving from. It's a booth.
that no one can fit in.
None. I got up to my fucking, like, half of my gut got in there. And I'm noticing, like, there's no fucking way this is going to work. And he's like, oh, you guys all set, right? I'm like, dude, this ain't fucking working. Well, let me see. And like, him and his couples, they're all situated laughing it up right. at our table. And I'm like, this ain't fucking working. This is bullshit.
Right. So then we start taking, so then we grab the waiter and we're like, look, here's the situation. You got to make this work for us. You got to get us out of this booth. We tried to be nice and do a solid to these assholes. And we're not sitting here. You got to do something for us. And I said, and you're not putting us at a table with two other people. I want our own table right now. So as we're dealing with the waiter, who is a saint, the guy, God bless him, fucking short, stumpy Buddy Hackett comes over to us. We're like, and this is when my patience ran. I go, get away from us right now. We are dealing with the staff here. They will accommodate us. You don't work here. You don't need to help us. We're going to solve this on our own. The waiter and one of his cohorts, literally, it was like the scene in Goodfellas where they grab a table, put it where no table existed, take a white tablecloth, throw it over there, set the table for us, put the candle in the middle, give us two chairs, and they say, is this okay, gentlemen? And we say, yes. And I was like, yep. Motherfucker, you're damn right it's okay.
So we had our own table.
Yep.
We sat there. Next thing I know, they bring another table over behind us and put another two-seater there. And I turned to the people and like, why? What? Let me guess. You had one of those fucking booths ago? He's like, yeah, nobody could fit in that. So they gave him a table of two. It's lucky because the lady was asking at one point, hey, these other people, it wasn't them, but these other people, do you mind if they sit at the table? I go, yes, we're not doing
yes,
that.
They're not sitting with us. Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Nope. Nope,
but who was that other table, Zeus? It was our new friends, Joe and Audra from Vancouver.
Yes.
Who we ended up spending, 2 o'clock in the morning with them? 1 o'clock in the morning? Amazing, awesome couple, Joe and Audra. You guys rock. It was so nice to meet you and hang out with you for the rest of the night, which we will obviously get into right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome people. I don't know. I mean, I can't say enough. They were fantastic. So the food, yep. You know, obviously there's a lot of people there. The food gets out. It gets starting to get served. The food was excellent. They didn't skimp out. It was a real nice meal. But we're like, what the fuck? How is Gene going to fit? Like, I'm like counting tables. I'm like, if he's given 15 minutes each, what the fuck is he going to be? Well, it's going to be until like midnight.
Exactly.
But sure enough, he made it. But we start seeing people as soon as we start. And all of a sudden, someone's like, Tommy's here. We're like, fucking Tommy's here, too. And then all of a sudden, people are coming around. And then we're in like almost like the corner where both sides would come around and it'd be an equal distance.
Yep.
So we're like waiting for people to come around. The first person that came around and then we saw was who?
Bruce. And we see Bruce and Lisa talking to a table, and Bruce and Lisa stand up to what? So I go, hey, Bruce. I go, Tom and Zeus over here from your favorite Kiss podcast, Shout Out Loudcast. Oh, my God. Now, I didn't know that Lisa, like, knew who we were, too. So we're shooting the shit with Bruce. Obviously, we love Bruce. Lisa is a saint, a doll, so sweet. We were having such a good time talking to them, just about Kiss, about the show, about Gene, about everything. And then we started teasing Bruce a little bit, and this was so great. I had a couple beers with me by then, so I was like, fuck it. I got Bruce here. He's like, yeah, you know, we're talking about how much we love him when he does his videos. He says he's got one coming out soon. It's the 30th anniversary of Alive 3. And I said, Bruce, you listen to the show all the time. Please do us a favor. When you start off the video, please go, hey, guys, Bruce Kulick here, Alive 3. What a recording. Great times. And him and Lisa like laughing. I'm like, all right, this is pretty surreal right now. We get Bruce like goofing and laughing, telling Zeus how much he loves his Ace impressions, like all that shit. Just awesome people. Awesome people.
So much fun. The great part about it too is like, oh yeah, you know, people say like Eddie Trunk, he says he loves the Ace impression, but he likes the Bruce one better. He's like, you do a Bruce impression? I'm like,
yeah, she never heard it. Yep.
And I started doing, hey guys, she's like, oh my God. That is good. And just two salt of the earth people.
Yep.
Wonderful, kind, fun, it was just great talking with them. We talked to them for a bit, and they came back another time, and we talked to them from some more. Then Tommy comes around first.
And this is when I was, this is when I did Rage 2.0. So Tommy comes by, he's walking around making the rounds, and these guys, they're making the rounds. So you don't have to swarm them. They're going to come to your table. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of standing up because Bruce and Lisa had left, and we see Tommy coming over, and you know, he's very kind. He, you know, we ended up getting everybody's autographs on the menu, which was pretty cool. We'll post pictures of that. Everybody signed the menu. You know, we're just saying hello to Tommy. Let's grab a quick picture. And as we're kind of getting our picture taken, these two fucking bozos from the other side of the restaurant, Tommy, I turn around, I go, get away from me. They're going to make their round. They're going to come to your table. Stop. Get off my ass right now.
We don't want to come across as like just fucking arguing with people in front of Tommy. So Tommy just gets up and leave. So we're trying to be as patient. So Tommy finishes with the previous table. We're next. He's coming to us.
Exactly.
These people stand, like, I've been in line cut in front of us. And like, he signed something. Then he's like, okay. So Tommy comes back to, hey, Tommy, can we get a picture with you too?
Right.
Okay. Then his friend comes in. Can I get this signed? And Tommy's like, okay. Hey, can I get my picture too? And we're like, what the fuck, dude? Wait your turn. He's going to come around to your table.
Go back to your goddamn table.
Right. I don't want to piss you off. But anyways, Tommy comes around. Tommy's wonderful, kind. We have some fun conversation with him. And, you know, it was nice. And he signed everything and he moved on. Yep. And then eventually Gene is starting to make his way.
Yeah. So when Gene comes around, he comes over with his production crew. He comes with the woman that's kind of running the event. And comes with his cameraman, who we became friends with, who we didn't even know was a fan of the show, Mr. John Sanchez of Memory Lane Video. The guy's amazing. We took a picture with him. He kind of like whispers, like, I really like your show. I'm like, you don't have to hide from it, John. It's okay. Yeah, I know you might.
And then we're like, I'm like, John, then videotape this, please.
And he did. So Gene sits down. Literally, they have a chair, like a king. Put the chair down. He sits with us. And it's just like, I'm like, okay, we're sitting at a dinner table with Gene Simmons right now. And the whole thing is being videoed. You guys heard the beginning of the show. We got him to do a bumper. It was amazing. Zeus got to ask him a question.
Yeah, I asked him about You're All That I Want. I wanted to get that out. Tom asked him a question about the soundboard stuff. It was fun. And he was talking to us back and forth. At one point when he was talking to me, like my hand is on the table, he puts his hand over my hand. Like that friendly gesture, which is like, it's such a like, oh man, you just fucking melted me. Like, oh, Gene put his hand on mine.
Yep.
And then we talked to him about coming on the show again. And we talked to him. I asked him at one point, you know, hey, do you know any Greek? And he did say, how are you in Greek to me? Just
you know, amazing. And then,
so maybe ours was like 5 or 6 minutes because there's only two of us and he's supposed to do 15 with every table.
Yep.
But he, it was amazing. It was amazing. Yep. And we got our photos taken with him and it was awesome. It was just awesome.
Yeah. So then this, after the Gene thing, this is when the night takes like a left-hand turn into Chaosville. So we find out later on,
it was Fitzy. I said to Fitzy, Fitzy said to us, hey, Jericho was in here, was in Vegas. And he's like, he asked me to go to his show. I'm like, they're playing Vegas. He goes, yeah, I told him I couldn't go because I'm here. He's like, oh, wow. So I'm like, huh. I said, Tom, Jericho's in Vegas. We should see what the fuck he's doing. So we texted him. I'm like, hey, where are you at? And he said, Vegas. He's like, where are you? We're like, we're at this Gene event here in Vegas. And what does he say?
He responds, so, all right, wait, rumor has it you're in Vegas? He goes, yeah, I just played a show. Are you? And we're like, yeah, we're at the Gene event with Bruce. He said you were in Vegas. And he's like, yeah, we've been here since Friday night. Jericho goes, I would never go there. That's stupid. So within 5 minutes of that, Zeus and I are like, he's on his way here. Isn't that bastard?
No, I said to you, I said, he's fucking here. Not he's on his way. I bet you. I said, he's fucking here. He doesn't talk like that unless he's here.
So we walked over to the other side of the restaurant that had a big spread where like Todd and Brent and the band and all those guys, like Gene, that's where all those guys were sitting. So we made our way over there. You know, we ran into Bruce again and Eric and Tommy and all those guys. And then Jericho shows up with his buddy Red Cup Jeff. And the next thing you know, it was fucking 2:30 in the morning. The manager of the restaurant had to kindly ask us to leave twice because the place was shut down. We were hanging with our friends Joe and Audra. We were hanging. Gene came by again to kind of shoot the shit again. Jericho was in his glory. We see Tommy, Bruce. We're hanging with Todd Kearns again, Brent Fitz, Brent Woods. Eric Singer showed up. And are you ready for the weirdest story of the weekend? Now, this is 100% true. Eric Singer comes over. And we're shooting the shit. We start talking about Kiss and Revenge. We still bring up Badlands, you know, whatever. All of a sudden, he's just totally not listening to anything. He goes, hey, have you guys ever heard of the movie Terror in Tiny Town? I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, it's a movie about a bunch of midgets. Like, it's a Western. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, let me pull it up. And he starts showing us this movie on YouTube. I'm like, we're sitting here with the drummer from Kiss. And you're showing us a black and white midget movie. What the fuck is going? He's like, you know the difference between midgets and dwarves, right?
And I'm like, yo, like, sausage fingers?
I'm like, what the? So I'm trying to steer the conversation back to music. And he's like,
he didn't want any part of that.
He didn't want any part of it. So he signs the menu for us and he just kind of disappears. I'm like, okay, that was fucking weird. That was so weird.
Throughout the whole night, Eric was always like, flying around. Like you can never get him to sit down and like sign something or whatever. And that lady kept saying he's like the guy from Mr. Deeds. He's very sneaky.
Yes.
And Audra is the one who got him to sign our shit. And
yes, thank
like,
God.
Hey, can you take a picture with my friends?
Yeah.
And we got our photo with him and stuff. Yeah. So every time Tom kept trying to like steer him into like, what about Badlands? What? You know, they didn't like me.
Right.
I told them what I did the first album with them. I told them what was wrong going forward. The second album, they fired me. What's that talk about?
So like, back to the midgets.
What the fuck? So then we were hearing that. You know, so when Jericho shows up with PJ, it's just like, everyone's like fucking love fest.
Yep.
And most of the crowd left. But in the back corner now was a contingency of all the musicians. And we were blessed to be on this inside crowd with them.
Yeah, so it was pretty
Brent,
wild.
Brent Fitz was there, Todd and his wife, Bruce and was there for a little bit with Lisa. Jericho was in his element with PJ. It just everything was loud and obnoxious. And we were in there. Everybody's cracking jokes. Everybody's getting fucking loud and drinking. And then Gene comes over for a little bit, tells fucking funny jokes. And like it's so surreal for us. We're in the middle of this fucking chaos and we're dealing with it. And then you got other people looking at it like, who the fuck are these two people? Why do they know everybody? And why are people asking them to do shit for them?
Right.
It was just fucking incredible. Incredible. And throughout this, and, you know, we were told too that Jakey Lee showed up at Fozzy's concert.
Yep.
And they're like, hey, we're going to see this Gene thing. And he's like, okay. And they're like, yeah, Eric is there. And then he's like, yeah, I'm okay. So Jake didn't want to come because Eric was there. And here is Eric telling us, well, then they fired me. I'm like, I guess I know why Jake doesn't want to come here.
Yeah.
And we did our thing. Everyone's drinking. Jericho called up me a journalist. And then we get into a fucking big debate about stupid shit. And then, you know, everybody's having fun. You know, having a blast or a couple girls still hanging out there and shit. Then it's literally a couple ladies, Jericho, PJ. Was PJ still there? No, Jeff.
Jeff,
you and me.
Yep.
To the point you could see the staff like, get these fuckers out of here. So 2:30, 3 o'clock, whatever, they booted us out finally. Like everyone, get the fuck out of here.
So we start walking through the Masquerade Tower area. We start walking back. We stop at just a casino bar and we're just having more drinks. Everybody's fucking going crazy. You know, it's just, we're like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden Jeff is like, hey, look over there. We're like, what? All of a sudden, fucking Jakey Lee comes over.
Yeah.
We're like, what the fuck, dude? Wow. Holy shit. Like, what the hell? So we go up to him. Jakey looked like he had a couple cocktails, which is fine because we all did. It was like fucking 2:30 in the morning. We start talking to him about Badlands and Ozzy and all this shit. And he was just like, just whoa, like who are these guys and how do they know like all the music I've done? Like, it was pretty friggin' wild.
Yeah, everybody was fucked up.
Oh, totally.
We were having
totally.
A blast, though. There was some people like, and it was just a lot of fun. We had a blast. We finally crashed, called it a night, got up the next day, and hit the airport.
That's it. That's
and
it.
There was our trip.
Yeah. Well, we'll be sharing tons of pictures, pictures up the ass. So we'll be posting all these. We'll be doing photo dumps from different events and different days. You guys are going to see everything. Hopefully we get our hands on some of the video. We'll try to share a couple things that we might kind of just keep private and maybe share with some of our Patreon, you know, kind of a little bonus material for you guys. But yeah, we got a ton to show you and, you know, really, really can't wait to for you guys to like hear this episode, obviously, and then see all the photos of the chaos of the night. It was amazing.
For me, I said to Tom, you know, we've done two cruises. We did Creatures Fest and this. Rank it.
Oh, this is number one.
Yeah, by far.
By far. By far.
I would put fucking probably three events and then put this combined better.
Yeah,
that's how much fun this was.
I mean, not just capping off the entire thing with that Sunday night till 2 a.m. with everybody and just Gene and the concert was just, yeah, it's going to be tough to beat.
Being like 2 feet away from Gene as he's holding court, telling dirty jokes
yep.
to Chris Jericho, myself, Todd Kearns and Brett Fitz and you.
Crazy.
Are you fucking kidding me? Where are you ever going to get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was, we felt like it was a fucking little community in there at the end. And we were all part of it. We saw it, hung out, talked. I can't explain it. To come from where we came from and to be where that spot.
Yep.
It was just amazing from everybody we met.
I feel like this should be the last show we ever do.
Almost. Yeah. I think we should wrap up after this. I mean, you can go down the line between Eddie. The two Brents, Todd, Bruce,
yep.
Eric, Tommy, Gene, PJ, yep. Red Cup, fucking Jericho, Jakey Lee. And like, it just never stopped.
Yep.
Fun, food,
crazy,
fucking laughter and music. Oh my God, guys, this was the ultimate. I hope you guys can tell this from our voices. Like, we'll never forget this shit. And we still have a ton of shit. Like, Tom forgot to mention that big bass guitar case full of shit. We're like, how the fuck are we getting this home? We have to ship that to us ourselves.
Yep.
But when that gets here, too, there's still memorabilia. We got autographs. We got a ton of shit. For the amount it cost us, well worth it. Well worth it. And kudos to, I think it's her name is Christina, was one of the big helping hands there, and their staff. An evening with Gene Simmons was excellent all the way through.
Yep.
The top notch, excellent job, well worth it. And if celebrities are ever going to copy this, they should, and they better give it the same amount of respect that Gene gave it to everybody, because he really made sure that his guest had a good time and was worth it for them. And it was.
Without a doubt. Amazing. Amazing.
Tom, we usually go to question of the week.
Yep.
But I want to make this our question.
Go for it.
So I'm going to ask you a question. At one point, we saw Tommy, we saw Eric, and obviously Gene, and Todd was up there. But for the concert, Bruce was up there and Tommy wasn't. But regardless, what would you say if I told you Kiss is going to continue, but Paul's the only one not going to be performing? Now it's Todd Kearns, and Todd will wear the star, and they're going to be touring with Todd, Gene, Eric, and Tommy. Thoughts?
Sign me up. Easy. Easy. Todd, we've been saying this since the first time we met Todd, since the first time we saw Todd. He is the star child in waiting. And we said this before. He's not a copycat. He's not a karaoke guy. He's got his own image, his own style, but he exudes that type of presence and persona and energy vocally and playing wise. So it almost makes too much sense.
Yeah. Yep. I would be in a second. They would probably be able to fit so many different songs. Todd can fucking do so many different things. He does have that Kiss charisma, pun intended, that he could put it off. And I would pay the same amount of money I would say to pay Kiss. It'd actually be better. I know they wouldn't be doing any backing tracks. And I know they wouldn't be fucking doing anything that I wouldn't like. It'd be authentic. I will take that in a fucking heartbeat.
As much as I love Tommy, I would say give me the revenge lineup. Put Eric on the drums, take all the makeup off, put Bruce back, and then give Todd Kearns the Paul role.
And if not, take Brent.
There you go. Absolutely.
Put Fitzy on the drums.
Yep.
If fucking Eric is folding laundries and showing videos of midget cowboy movies. So what the fuck was that? Anyway, so Tom, tell people where they can find us.
All right. We always say our website, the best place to go, shoutitoutloudcast.com. You will find all of our episodes, all of our rankings, links to our social media, links to our Patreon, with a special shout out to our two new Patreon members. We're so thrilled that you guys joined the party. Andrew and Tyler, thank you so much. That's the best place to go. And if you can also message us directly from the website, and we'll get that in the form of an email, which we read all of our emails. Or if you want to do the regular email, it's shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. We read all of your emails. We say this every week. We might not be able to get to every one of them on the show, but we do read all of them. And Zeus and I talk amongst each other about what we're seeing. And of course, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Please comment, tag, DM, all that great stuff. And again, our wonderful Patreon family. I already thanked them and our two new guys. And again, number one on Pantheon Podcast Network. Ton of great shows there. Please check them out. We're there, and ton of other great shows there as well.
Yeah, we always tell people they can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're over 1,000, baby. So we appreciate that. And give us one of those 5-star child reviews for anywhere like Apple Podcasts, Facebook, Stitcher, Spotify, Podchaser, wherever you can give us a 5-star child review, please do so. We appreciate it. And we read them on the air here. You can always email us at shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. Shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. And I like to give us the website address. Again, that's shoutitoutloudcast.com. Shoutitoutloudcast.com. I am noticing a lot more posts are going on the episodes from our website. Keep doing that. We love when you guys do that. It's a big help, and it makes those episode on the website a lot easier, because now you can read a lot of the comments that will stay there forever. Not like social media posts where they, after a while you don't see them up anymore. And then also just keep looking out for our Shout Out Loudcast merch and our Amazon store, and wherever way you can help us, obviously Patreon is a big help. But what we usually end our show on is famous last words. You have any?
Of course. And I'm crazy, kinda hazy. I'm not sorry. Gonna worry. I'm not lonely. She's my only. She's got me eating out of her hands.
And my love is in plaster. And yes, she's the collector. She wants me all the time to inject her. Tom, Loudcasters, Kiss Army, thank you.
Guys, you're the best. Thank you so much for everything. We're really excited for you guys to hear this episode and see the pictures when we finally drop them. Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout. So just as we were getting on the plane, I get a text from what looks like a California number. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And it says, where will you go on vacation? Out of the blue. So I look at Tom. I'm like, huh? I write, excuse me? They write, my phone broke and I lost all my numbers. So I don't know if it's wrong. Are you Selena? I wrote, who are you? Hello? They write, thank you. You don't blame me. You are very friendly. Have a nice day. It's a blessing to know each other, too. How do you think about building a new friendship? I say to Tom, check this out.
This is incredible.
So I write back, sure. Can I bang you? The response I get is, do you live in Massachusetts? I say, do you? She writes, my friend took me to the Freedom Trail, Cape Cod Beach in the sunset. There is so beautiful. Minuteman National Historic Park and Lexington Green are beautiful. It's a great place to live. Lexington Green is where the fucking Revolutionary War took place. Yeah, it's a fucking historical fucking statue is there. That's it. My name is Anrin, 36 years old. How about you? I said to Tom, and Tom's like, that's a fucking robot. That's a fucking
Bot. Yeah, it's a bot.
I wrote, I once banged a Hawaiian midget there on a sand dune. It was a blast. By the way, she writes, we can send each other pictures to know more about each other. I said, let's see yours. She sends this photo of this hot Asian lady. That's me, she writes. So instead, I send a picture of Ace with his thumb up. Hey! She writes, your photos are so beautiful. Nice to chat with you. And then I wrote, here's one of my little brother. And it's Bushwick Bill from the Ghetto Boys, the little midget guy holding an axe on stage shirtless. May I ask how old you are? I wrote, 49. Have you been to New York? I said, yes. When you get back to York, I'll take you to the Statue of Liberty around Times Square. And finally, we can sit down and have a cup of coffee. I write, yes, but no coffee. Last time I had coffee, I ended up shitting my pants at Madison Square Garden. She writes, yes, today I'm very happy to chat with you. We can keep in touch and learn more about each other. I write, show me more pictures so my friend can watch me jerk off to you. She's like, do you use Telegram? No, I don't have any pictures here. Do you use Telegram? I will send pictures via Telegram. I write, sorry, I gotta take a shit. It was nice talking with you. Then like 10 minutes later, she writes, goodbye. And then somebody else comes in and writes, stupid, 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 stupid. So it's probably somebody manager finally looked at the conversation and saw it.
Yep.
And that was the end of my romance there, apparently. Oh, well.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.